You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage with Andy Bush for our weather emissions-related show and everything political as well. In this segment, we'll talk about the outlook for policy in 2015 from the new Congress on the EPA and the Highway Trust Fund and a bunch of other things. So joining us to discuss these topics and more is Capital Alpha's Lauren Smith. Lauren, thanks for coming on the show this week.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
All right, man. You cover so many things. It's exciting to have you on, as always. But now we're a couple of weeks away from the midterms, and Republicans voted in not only their leaders this last 5 or 6 days, but also the heads of key committees in Congress. So let's start off by focusing on the EPA and some environmental issues. On the Senate side, Senator James Inhofe takes over the Environmental and Public Works Committee. What can we expect his reaction will be to the recent U.S.-China emissions deal?
Well, Inhofe, Andy, as you know, and probably a lot of your listeners know, has really carved out a niche as being almost the foremost skeptic of carbon regulation in the U.S., skeptic of fears over climate change and global warming.
Right.
And he really, taking over this committee now as chairman, with Republicans getting the majority back for the first time in 8 years, really puts him in a position to, schedule his own hearings and, really make his own case on why he thinks the EPA regulations, the rulemaking under the Obama administration has been an overreach.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because every article that I've Googled this week on Inhofe, right, is like, he's the biggest skeptic, doesn't believe this, doesn't believe that. So it's interesting to me that this is the guy who's taking over in the Senate. How aggressive do you think Republicans are going to be in going after the EPA, and what will they do about the CO2 rule? And just for some perspective, ladies and gentlemen, we have gone through a massive change in the United States since 2010 with regulations and putting burden on U.S. companies. Now, I'm totally sympathetic to understanding how the environment is negatively impacted by things, but we do need to balance that with job creation, because a lot of people don't have jobs and would like to have jobs, and when you throw regulations on them, it kind of hurts them. So, sorry, Lauren, that was my pontificating there, but what do you think the Republicans are going to do about going after the EPA?
Well, the Republicans, especially since the 2010 elections when they won back control of the U.S. House, they've really been making a strong argument as to very strenuously arguing that the economic costs of regulation need to be taken into account, and mm-hmm. particularly in the current environment with slow job creation, the U.S. trying to rebuild a manufacturing base. And this has really been a key part of the Republican pitch over the last several years. So now with the U.S. Senate, the Republicans are going to basically ramp that up even further and continue to try to chip away at the EPA's rulemaking authority. Really, over the next 2 years, I think targeting specific rules and taking sort of a bite-sized approach to the EPA, and which is really actually an interesting contrast to what Republicans have been doing on other issues like health care. But really continuing to try to chip away at EPA regulations through the appropriations process.
You know, one of the things I had discussed with the chief economist on the minority side for the budget committee, Bill Beach, last week, was the potential for a budgetary item on the costs of regulations. Do you think that has any momentum? This was I believe was a concept, I'm sure you're familiar with it, that basically if you're going to bring about a regulation, you look at what the economic costs are. That's not included anywhere when they do these regulations currently.
That's right. Although some agencies are do more to take into account economic costs than others, the EPA tends to be more at the low end of focusing strictly on the positive side. and less on the cost side. So different agencies have different mandates in regard to economic costs.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a new legislation passing the Senate next year, I think it's pretty doubtful in terms of anything sweeping regarding the regulatory agencies and the way in which the U.S. government looks at regulatory agencies, just because I think that it will be very hard for anybody to reach the 60-vote plateau in the U.S. Senate on that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm sure that there's a lot of disagreement, too, about whether or not the analysis that is done on these rules really is based in reality or not. I think I'm trying to remember the EPA rule with the emissions saying that it actually would create jobs and more jobs over the length of the implementation of the rule to reduce emissions. There's all sorts of problems with that thing, but
that's a very good point, Andy. Even if Congress did pass a new law saying that agencies had to take into account the economic costs, that would drive some change. Mm-hmm. But it's also true that you would see some agencies potentially gaming the system.
Right. Yeah. It's just on how you take a look at what you think is potentially coming, which is an interesting thing because obviously that is all dynamic analysis, isn't it? Not static analysis, which is another big bugaboo in Congress right now, too, in how to evaluate programs and spending. So I don't want to spend too much time on that because I want to get to some other things. Lauren, you also cover a lot of wonderful things for Capital Alpha, but you also cover the Highway Trust Fund. Give us an update on what's going to happen over the next 12 months, as I believe there's maybe some key changes in environmental reviews and public-private partnerships that are on the docket for this thing.
Well, I think, Sandy, the most important part is the way you introduced that. I cover some wonderful things, and then I cover the Highway Trust Fund.
Noticed that, right?
I think it's actually very appropriate because the Highway Trust Fund, for years now, has been running a multi-billion dollar deficit. In fact, it's closing in on $16 billion annually, widening, actually, each year. The gap between the inflows, just about $37 billion that flow into the Highway Trust Fund every year in the form of gas taxes and some other ancillary taxes that fund surface transportation programs, and the $52 billion or so the U.S. government spends every year on highway and transit programs, and along with a few other beautification projects and bike paths and some other sort of items around the edges of the Highway Trust Fund. But basically, Congress has to figure out a way to paper over this 15 going on $16 billion gap. And in fact, since the last Highway Trust Fund was passed in 2005, which expired in 2009, Congress has actually acted four times in the last 6 years, 2008, 2009, 2012, and this year, 2014, to effectively bail out the Highway Trust Fund, patch it, dump in general revenue funds in order to keep the Highway Trust Fund going.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the policymakers hate this. You know, you've had basically 60 years where surface transportation programs via the Highway Trust Fund actually paid for themselves. It was a user pays, you know, system, and that really has fallen apart over the last decade. There seems to be a consensus that a way that you could get a long-term revenue solution for the Highway Trust Fund would be some sort of broad tax reform where mm-hmm. you would sort of net out the revenues you needed to assign, you know, some amount of revenues to the Highway Trust Fund to get yourself back into a situation where you could have a 5 or 6 year sort of a traditional long-term bill. Tax reform, a bigger topic for us to discuss,
mm-hmm.
Andy, but
sure.
I think that suffices to say right now that tax reform seems like, pretty much a long shot in 2015. And with tax reform probably not going to happen in 2015, I think Congress is probably going to opt for another two-year deal. They're going to find $31 billion or so somehow. They will figure it out to get another two-year
highway
deal in place
right.
in the Highway
yeah.
Trust Fund, which, you know, is I think, disappointing to a lot of the construction names and a lot of the aggregates the materials that go into surface transportation infrastructure. But there will at least be, 2 years of knowing that this is the level that's being set. I think the alternative case is that if President Obama and the now, Republican control of both houses, although obviously the Senate, it's still sort of split. If they can somehow get a deal on some type of tax reform, really even if it's a small change sort of tax reform, that would probably give enough in the way of policy guidance to get a long-term highway bill.
It's interesting that you bring that up because we just found out over the last couple of days that Paul Ryan is going to take over the Ways and Means Committee, which we know that he has strong interest to move forward on tax reform. And some were saying, you know, last year, and I know that you were in D.C. and I met with you then, that the thought was he might come out with something by July 4th of 2015. But if I hear what you're saying correctly, is like you're like, yeah, maybe, but it doesn't really matter because you don't think even if that happened that anything would get done.
And I think that July 4th, frankly, is probably, you know, too late if you're talking about the real window to do a tax reform in 2015. It's really probably earlier. It probably needs to be accelerated because by late fall, you know, by, you know, October, November, I think the presidential race will really be getting heated up by then, and I just think it'll be difficult. I mean, it's possible, but the window has to be considered shifted forward in terms of a plausible tax reform deal next year.
Well, just in the few minutes that we have left here, Lauren, what are the top three things that you're looking into 2015 on? What are you spending your time kind of focusing on that you think will be the big themes for next year?
Well, the Highway Trust Fund is very important because it's something that Congress is definitely going to do. It is a bite-sized public policy issue that Congress is almost certainly going to do something on next year. And in fact, anything Congress does will have some impact, whether it's a two-year deal, a six-year deal, or even if they completely fall apart and pass nothing and the trust fund collapses completely. These are all going to be impactful events. So that's really a key one. The next one is trade. There's discussion of Congress passing a bill on trade promotion authority, which would grease the skids for passage of a major trade deal with the Pacific Rim nations. And I think that that's still in the early stages. I think we're a little skeptical there that President Obama and congressional Democrats can work with congressional Republicans on a new trade agreement. But certainly that's going to be a topic of conversation over the next 6 to 9 months. The Export-Import Bank is going to be, a significant part of the political conversation, especially in the second quarter of next year. It expires in the June 30th of mm-hmm. next year. The Export-Import Bank, and that's very important to some of your larger industrials: Boeing, Caterpillar, United Technologies, GE. Also, there are, some of the other Valero could be negatively affected. Valero has complained in the past that Ex-Im is effectively financing their overseas competitors. A few implications there. Also, actually, coal could be affected positively by the Export-Import Bank if Congress passes a new deal that opens the bank back up to coal exports. Last year, the agency announced that they would no longer finance most overseas coal purchases. Those are three issues. Mainly in the industrial area, manufacturing that could be affected next year, and then really the budget deal. There could be yet another budget standoff. The Republican leadership in Congress is saying no more shutdowns, no more fiscal cliffs. But the reality is that the Republicans want certain policy reforms and believe that their victories 2 weeks ago give them political leverage to insist on, some of the policies that they've been advocating for, and tying those things to the annual appropriations and to next year's debt ceiling fight, and also the tax extenders legislation are all things that could have really broad impacts for the economy.
Lauren, you're looking at a lot of stuff, I got to say. You're a busy man. All right, Capital Alpha's Lauren Smith. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, you bet. We'll take a break. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.